Everybody else who's online is all the interns from Lysolf. So we have an audience today, and I hope they will ask something. They're not like just here. Hello, guys. So I hope they will ask. They have the strength. I needed to invite them because they're currently working for Fawura. And when we had our podcast planning meeting about who can we invite, you were the first person they asked for. So I don't know if you realize or that you loved. Oh. Yes.
Wow, thanks, guys.
Exactly.
That's so... Oh, man.
I know. So anyway, so let's start. So if, like, for people who don't know you, who don't know much about you, three things that you would tell them about you that gives people a glimpse into your life.
First thing that I could say about myself is I'm a multifaceted designer. I'm not only an influencer, guys.
I think that's what they think.
Yeah. So I studied at UJ. I did interior design. I dabbled a bit into fashion. Now I'm doing textiles as a thing. And yeah, so I do quite a lot of things. And I also do quite a lot of collaborations, not only with brands, but with other creatives as well. Because I think it broadens one depth of field in terms of what they do. Second thing I'd say about myself that gives a glimpse of myself is, this is a Zoom interview. The other thing is, I probably don't ever limit myself to anything. Mm-hmm. I have this concept of I can actually do anything, and I'll try anything and everything that I'm interested in, and if it fails, it fails. If it doesn't, good and well, we go forth with it. So I never put any limitation to anything that I do. Third one would be, I'm actually a really cool person. People look at you on images and they think, but I'm actually a really easy person to talk to or to even ask a question or, yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are the three things I can think of the top of my head.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And when you say you're into textiles, like I've seen on your Instagram that you're doing like, it's like, I don't know what to describe it. Like, it's like art, you know, like textile, and you're creating like an art form into it. So are you planning to sell that? Like, how would you describe that field?
So that field is actually a brand that Lou and I started together sometime in 2018, but it only started taking off during COVID in 2020. So it's literally a lifestyle brand, Namo, and it focuses on fashion, interiors, as well as lifestyle.
Oh, okay.
And punch needling is one of the things I do. I actually fully immerse myself into that whole tapestry world. So punch needling. So I create artworks from that, homeware items like cushions, rugs, coming soon.
Punch needling. We've learned something new, guys. Punch needling. I didn't know that's what they call it. Oh, okay. All right. So let's talk about your style. So you've always, for as long as I've known you, you've always drifted towards minimalism, or like, I don't know if you like it or you are aware, because sometimes that's how we dress, but that's not, you don't necessarily affiliate yourself to minimalism. It's just a matter of, that's just what I like, you know? So with you, was it intentional or it just so happened that that's just what you like?
It just so happened that that's what I like. And I think the influence comes from Asian culture or Japanese culture, because all their things are very much structured and very clean line, and I just gravitate to that more. I like the volume, the city of the garments and everything, so I just adapt to that to my life. But I think as I'm growing older, I mean, I was so young. Now I'm old.
Olderish.
So as I'm getting, I find that my style is sort of like expanding with how my body changes and the type of silhouettes that I have to wear to accommodate the body and so forth. And yeah, now I'll dab into a little bit of an eclectic style. I'll mix and match some things there. It's not fully minimalist anymore. I just think I when I see something nice and I really like it, whether it's in a print or pattern or whatever, I will buy it just because maybe it has that voluminous sleeve or that volume at the bottom, whatever. I'll buy it.
Okay. And then speaking of buying it, then what do you look for when you go into the stores, besides everything that you've just said now? Like, what kind of details do you look for? What are you drawn to?
I'm literally drawn to volume.
Okay.
In any garment, that's me. Drama. I just want drama.
No drama. We don't buy it. Yes.
On the actual item that I'm buying, whether it's a little bit of a ruching on the sleeve or it's a like a lapel that is might be longer, or it's the buttons or it's a different zip, like a very heavy duty zip on a very intricate and light
delicate
top,
like
I put detail in the things that I buy. And I always shop everything like two sizes from what I wear, because some things you look at it and you see it hanging, but when you wear it, it's not as it was on the mannequin. So to give that effect, I'll buy like two sizes over, and then I'll go notice the waist or whatever. So I look for intricate detailing in the items that I buy or things that I make. Most of the time, I just make the things that I want.
Yeah, no, I'm nodding on that because that is so me. Like, I always buy two sizes over. And when you tell people, like, they don't believe it, but it works all the time. Like, you just, like, what is the point of wearing something fitted? Like, I just don't get that.
Who does that?
Like, it just works. Like, it's a style tip. Like, it works. I've done it for years. I've done it when I was still styling. I still do it on myself. And then people think you're forever thin. That's another thing.
Yeah, exactly. True.
It works all the time. All the time. All right. Guys, is there any question you would like to ask before I continue? Anybody brave enough? No? Bianca.
Hi there, I'm Bianca. So I actually have a question. I see on Instagram you've got quite a large following. And I have like a small little business. I just want to know, how do you, like, advise, how do you grow it so large? And what do you do to engage with your audience?
Bianca, so I didn't just gain this following in like a year or 2 years or 3 years. It's been a long time coming. So I think I joined Instagram when I was in varsity, 2014 or something, or 2015. And it's just about being you and being organic in everything that you do. Don't force anything. I think you find that people buy following, and that's not always a good thing to do, because if people generally like the product you put out or the aura you send out on your social media accounts, they'll automatically just follow you. So just be you, be organic, and the following will come organically.
Yeah.
Also, another thing is to consistently put out content. I cannot stress this enough. You need to put out your product for people to see it. If you don't post it, or if you don't share it by means of sending people a press release email to say, hey, so this is my lookbook. What? This is Bianca's design. Here you go. You have a list of people you can send it to. Or just posting a picture of a range you're working on Instagram. The more people see, the more they follow, and the more they're engaging with you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Lebo.
Lebo, do you want to ask? Do you have a question, Lebo? No, not yet. No.
Yes, I do.
Okay, go for it.
I do have a question. It's also the Instagram. I would like to ask, what inspires your layout on your account?
So basically, what I do is I have a content plan, right? Because this is not only for me to post to get following, but it's also mostly to get attention from brands and previous brands that I've worked with, right? So I have a content plan where I create content for a specific month, a specific week, and I plan it out on how to post it. And there are apps as well that can help you plan your feed in order for it to look pleasing to the eye and whatnot. Like I use Unfold to plan my feed. And yeah, there's like it all comes from me working with a brand or releasing something new that I've created, or I don't know, feeling a new color palette that I want to showcase, and I just post according to that. I post to according to how I feel for that specific month or week, and yeah.
Okay.
Do you feel that, I'm gonna put you on the spot, do you feel like the influencer culture encourages overconsumption?
Definitely it does. And this is in every aspect, whether you're a beauty influencer or you're a fashion influencer, or you just so happen to create art and post it. There's so much pressure for people to churn out things that it sometimes even degrades the level of content that you produce, because people are always like, there's no stop to it, and it gets toxic.
Exactly.
It really does get toxic, and it gets tiring.
Exactly.
And sometimes you just do it, but because people are always looking at you, you feel like, okay, I need to plan this. I need to plan. It's pressure. Your question does.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I think I'm hoping that we will all fall into a space where sustainably so people start slowing down, you know, and realizing you can still achieve the same thing and the same impact by just, you know, just posting twice a week. It's okay. But I think, you know, that's not, then Instagram wouldn't be in business, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, every single time there's a new app that's coming out. I mean, now there's TikTok.
You can't do
that. All the young ones are just on TikTok. And I think it's that thing, yeah, instant gratification. Yeah. People just always want everything so quickly that they forget that with everything there's a process. Like, there's a process in planning the content that you post.
Yeah.
And you don't just post waking up tomorrow and taking a picture and you're like, there's actual planning. Like, I have someone that takes the photos. I have someone that edits the photos. I have to plan the outfits. Like, it's a whole thing, guys. There's work. So for people to pressure you, and for you to feel, to give yourself the pressure of having to constantly be on your A game, is so exhausting. Like, even now, I don't even post as much as I do because I have other things happening in the background.
Yeah.
Like,
there's
I have other things that are not on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel the need also to share some of those other things because I'm tired.
That's true. For real. Like, we all have a full life behind the scenes. And I think people forget that. Like, there's other things happening as soon as you get off Instagram. At some point, something's got to give, you know?
Yeah.
And how do you control your shopping sprees? How often do you shop? Are all your items that we see on the feed new? Are you just recycling stuff? Like, how often? Because we're seeing all these interesting, detailed, beautiful. Like, how often do you go into the stores?
I really don't go shopping quite often. Mm. Like I said, I really am about sustainability.
Mm.
And if I have fabric laying around in the house that I didn't use in previous things that I've been doing, I'll use that fabric to make something instead of going and spending money on something. So I try not to shop too much because I have too much that I need to get rid of. But I don't shop a lot, eh?
Okay.
I don't get into the whole buzz when Zara sends you a notification saying sale tomorrow, and then I have other things to pay for. I have bills, real bills, not clothes.
Guys, any more questions? Anyone wants to ask something else? No? Lungile?
I have a question.
Okay.
Hi. My question for Kifirwe is... like, what are the biggest...
Kineilwe, not Kifirwe, Kineilwe.
That's crazy. I'm sorry. What are the biggest brands you've worked with?
Yo, off the top of my head, yo, but now I might need to open my thingy. I've worked with...
Witchery?
Calvin Klein. Witchery.
Country Road.
I've worked with Tom Ford.
Mimco.
I've worked with L'Occitane or L'Occitane, yeah. Whatever you call it.
Mimco.
Calvin Klein. What?
Mimco. Remember when Mimco was still around? I think you did some with Mimco.
Oh my God. I've worked with alcohol brands like Bombay. Spear, yo, there's a lot of brands that I've worked with, my babes.
Yeah,
but it's a lot, both in international and national brands. Yeah. So I think I've worked with a lot of brands. Some I've forgotten.
Okay. And so dipping into your life outside of fashion, out of style. If we look into your life. Does the same principle apply in terms of less is more? Like your lifestyle at home, how you decorate your house, how you eat, how, like everything else outside. Because I know that, and that is my current debate currently, that people who tend to drift towards sustainability in terms of clothes, sustainable fashion, it doesn't necessarily coincide with their lifestyle at home. So how are you matching that?
The reason why I've gained weight is because the two don't correlate.
Okay, exactly. That means you're human. That means
I've tried. But in terms of things for the home, I can't lie. I have an obsession with chairs. So and I thrift a lot of my chairs. So every time I see a beautiful chair, I just want to buy it. Like, I really have a problem, even in the. But I think I'm cleaning out everything. Like, I want to absolutely get rid of every single little thing, and start afresh.
Mm.
That's where I am.
Mm.
But my home is not even minimal at all. It's very much eclectic. Like. You'll find a very, like, retro 18th century chair with a very modern coffee table, like, and then the couch will be also very Scandinavian or what, like it's a mix. So I have a very eclectic style in terms of furniture.
That's nice.
And I feel like minimal furniture, it can be boring sometimes. You need a little bit of flavor.
That is the thing. Because
with furniture, it's not, you can't really play with volumes in as much as clothes. Like clothes, you have pleats, you have ruffles, you have you understand. Furniture, you just have a couch and then it's modular, but that's about it.
Exactly.
Do you understand?
Yeah. And it can make, I mean, I know there's this whole new vibe with like nudes and browns that are coming in, but I always just feel like, and then what? After 2 years, you're just looking at this brown nude house. Then what happens? Do you know?
And that's the problem. This is the problem with following trends in terms of fashion, in terms of interior, anything that is design, is that trends come and go. Like this whole Kim Kardashian, very serene stock interior situation will fade out, and then Kim Kardashian will be wearing color again and she'll change her house, and then you're gonna be on trend with that. You don't have the money. Buy items that you like and like, decorate your house to however you want to be, or your apartment or your room.
Yeah,
if you're still living with, buy timeless pieces that are gonna last forever rather than sticking to a trend. Like, I mean, you have a biker jacket on now, Jessica, and that's a timeless piece. A leather jacket is always gonna be a leather biker forever and ever.
Exactly.
And I have a fitted one, an oversized one, and a cropped one, because I know this is a staple that's going to be in my wardrobe forever. Whereas if I buy a very trendy, bomber jacket, it might fade out in 2 seasons to come. Whereas staples are staples. A white shirt is a white shirt. It will never go out of fashion. Yeah.
No, I agree. Okay, we're almost at the end.
Bokang, I can't hear you!
You're almost at the end. Bokang, is there anything you want to ask? Rama Tsobane, anything you want to ask?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Kinelwe.
Hey, Bokang.
I just wanted to ask, what's your favorite, clothing item in your wardrobe? That's your go-to, fashion item.
I'm coming. Hey, Bokang, this is a very... I think for me, it's a white shirt. I have it in all shapes, forms, embellishments, anything. Like, a white shirt for me, I can pair it with anything and everything. I can wear it with a suit. I can wear it in a casual way. I can wear it with peaches, skirt, jeans, whatever. I can twist it out to I want to. And literally, my length shirts that go below the knee, I have cropped ones that are just above my boobs. You get?
Yeah.
So, shirt. I think for me, that's one thing I have. And I keep buying white shirts. That's one thing I'm not sustainable in. I buy white shirts.
No, but you should buy white shirts. We should all buy white shirts and white tees. Those are the ones that they are sustainable, because they just create that whole capsule wardrobe that will be there forever, you know?
If I see a little bit of drama somewhere on the shirt, trust me, it's mine. I'm going with it.
And I think now you kind of actually calm down with your white shirts. You used to have white shirt after white shirt, particularly during the time when you were in prime obsession. I think you were just a white shirt girl.
Too much. I still do have quite a lot, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I have just two more questions as a Q&A. Is it better for you to buy green products or eco-fashion products? Or is it better for you to buy normal products and buy more of them or less of them? Which is which for you? So it's eco products. Would you rather just buy eco products and galore of them, or buy normal products but less?
I would buy the eco products, but then the quality also needs to also like speak for the product. As there's no point in saying, oh, this was recycled. I mean, exactly. We know H&M does a lot of recycling in terms of garments, but if the quality doesn't match the price tag, for me, I'm just like, what's the point? Then I might as well buy something else that is not recycled and have it for forever. Because that's another problem with recycled things or eco things, is that the quality is not always the best. Harabing on it. The quality is not always the best all the time. And you have to keep going to buy the things that are eco. But 9 times out of 10, I'll probably buy the eco-friendly products.
Okay. All right. And then the last one. Which one is more of you? A closet full of clothes and you've got nothing to wear, or a closet full of essentials and you always have something to wear? I didn't think it was that difficult. I was trying to make it as difficult as possible, but it was just not getting there. So now I guess it's a trick question either way.
my current now is I the first one. I have a closet full of clothes and I always find that I have nothing to wear, which is problem. But that's only because I don't have space for the things that I have. And in turn, even if you have a white t-shirt that is brand new, because you can't find it, you go buy another one. And that's a problem. That's actually a really serious problem.
It's a thing.
I get to the second part of life. Like, have enough in my closet and know that I have things to wear, rather than having too much in my closet and finding that I have nothing to wear. I need to balance my life. But this is why I'm sale because I can't do this.
I think we're all happy about COVID. It will keep us at home and not even have to worry about fashion anymore.
I dress up at home. There are some days when I just feel like I need a pick me up, because I've been in my onesie the whole week. So I'll just put on an outfit and just pretend that I'm going to run errands or go buy something just so I can wear the outfit. Or even just stepping out to the balcony and just chilling, you know?
No, that's nice. Ramatubane, that's last question to you. Or should we close?
No question. I don't have any questions.
Okay.
I enjoyed the interview though.
All right. Okay, that's fine. Kinelu, thank you so much. Thank you. Like, we really appreciate it. I think the girls are going to be so happy. But I'm even more grateful. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me, Jess. Thanks, ladies.
Say bye, guys. Thank you. Okay, bye. Keep safe. Bye. Keep COVID safe. Wear your mask. Bye.